ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 महाराज रहुगण मीट्स जड़ भारत टेक्स्ट 24। तन्मे भवान नर देव अभिमान मदेन तुच्छिकृत सत्यमस्य कृशिष्ट मैत्री दृशम आर्तबंधो यथा तरे सद अवध्यन अवध्यनाम अवध्यानम अम्हः। तन्मे भवान नरदेवाभिमान मदेन तुच्छीकृत सत्तमस्य कृशिष्ट मैत्री दृशमार्थबन्धो यथा तरे सद् अवध्यानमम्हः। तन्मे भवान् नरदेवाभिमान मदेन तुच्छीकृत सत्तमस्य कृशिष्ट मैत्री दृशमार्तबन्धो यथा तरे सद् अवध्यानमम्हः। Ladies, please. Tat, therefore, may unto me, Bhavan, your good self, Naradeva Abhimana Madena, by madness due to having the body of a king, and thus being proud of it, Tucchi Krita, who has insulted Sattamasya, you who are the best among human beings, Krishishta, kindly show Maitri Drisham, your causeless mercy upon me like a friend. Artha Bandho, O friend of all distressed persons. Yatha, so, Tare, I can get relief from. Sat Avadhyanam, neglecting a great personality like you. Amhaha, the sin. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whatever you have spoken appears to me to be contradictory. O best of the distressed, O best friend of the distressed, I have committed a great offense by insulting you. I was puffed up with false prestige due to possessing the body of a king. For this, I have certainly become an offender. Therefore, I pray to you that kindly glance me with your causeless mercy. If you do so, I can be relieved from sinful activities brought about by insulting you. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that by offending a Vaishnava, one finishes all his spiritual activities. Offending a Vaishnava is considered the mad elephant offense. A mad elephant can destroy an entire garden which has been developed with great labor. One may attain the topmost platform of devotional service, but somehow or other, if he offends a Vaishnava, the whole structure collapses. Unconsciously, King Rahugana offended Jadabharata, but due to his good sense, he asked to be excused. This is the process by which one can be relieved from a Vaishnava aparadha. Krishna is always very simple and by nature merciful. When one commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava, one must immediately apologize to such a personality so that his spiritual advancement may not be hampered. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakhaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a sobering purport. The process of Krishna consciousness is very, very simple. In fact, it is so simple that it's often misunderstood or taken lightly. But the simplicity of it is, we serve a Vaishnava or we serve the Vaishnavas and our attraction to Krishna develops. We offend a Vaishnava and our attraction for Maya develops. Very simple. Or whatever we have done in the realm of Krishna consciousness is completely, abruptly stopped. So, as practicing devotees, as careful as we are in regarding Krishna, the Vaishnavas, the paraphernalia, as careful and watchful and alert and vigilant we must be about not offending a Vaishnava. As soon as there is an offense to a Vaishnava, all that we have done, all that we have worked so hard for, if we have worked hard for, goes away. So Prabhupada begins, what Maharaj Rahugana is doing is he's seeking forgiveness. As a Vaishnava, each one of us has a very potent weapon, if you will, or an asset. And that asset is to seek forgiveness. A Vaishnava who seeks forgiveness makes fantastic advancement. Versus a person who doesn't seek forgiveness has to rely on his or her own strength to climb the massive mountain of Krishna consciousness. And by the way, one cannot climb it, because we cannot access Krishna consciousness on our strength. We access Krishna consciousness upon or by the descending mercy. And for a person who cannot seek forgiveness or cannot have an humble attitude, for them, that mountain that they are trying to climb is the mountain surface is greasy and oily, so you just cannot get any grip. How much ever we try, we slip. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, by offending a Vaishnava, one finishes all his spiritual activities. He didn't say it slows down. He didn't say there's difficulty. He said one finishes it. There's nothing you can do. And the common analogy is the mad elephant. It takes a lot of work to trim a garden. Our Bhakta Sean is sitting here. He's helping Ed. You ask him how much time it takes to manicure a garden and to keep it clean and nice. It's a lot of work. And after doing so much, if a mad elephant walks into the garden, it creates havoc. It uproots all the nice plants, crushes all the flowers, ruins the grass. So as Vaishnavas, we try very hard, or sincerely, to cultivate our heart as a nice garden, so that one day there are nice flowers and fruits that can be offered to Krishna. We carefully manicure, weed out the unnecessary things that may choke the heart. And after very carefully culturing that heart every day, day in and day out, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, serving the Vaishnavas, reading the scripture, participating in the missionary activities, sacrificing on sleep, on food. You know, we all like this kind of food, but we get that kind of food. We like to eat this, but we are offered that. Cultivating carefully without complaining. And we try to nurture friendly relationships with whoever we meet, especially the persons we are living with. We tend to we learn to take the high road, if you will, that certain mistakes and things we tend to overlook, it's all right. We have a bigger mission, a goal of life, and in these small things, it's all right, let's overlook it. It takes a lot of work to become tolerant, to not get instigated by small things. Out there in the world, people get instigated for nothing. Nothing at all. They're ready to kill each other for like the silliest of things. and use profane language to express their frustration. I mean, even if nothing is frustrating, profanity is just fashion. Unless you use the four-letter words for everything, it just doesn't feel right for everything. And then we try to culture our language nicely. We even to say something to another Vaishnava, if they're doing something wrong or we feel they're doing something wrong or differently, or we would like them to do something differently, Prabhu, Mataji, I don't know, could you kindly do it this way? Can I request? I mean, we put so much thought into it. Why? Because we're dealing with Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are the dearmost objects for Krishna. Krishna doesn't get attracted to anything else. He is self-sufficient. He is not attracted by wealth. The goddess of fortune is not one. Hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune are very eager to serve him. Lakshmi sahastra shata sambhrama sevyamanam. Sambhrama means extremely eager to serve him. He doesn't even care. He doesn't need food. He doesn't need expensive gift items. Nothing. His whole attention is on his devotees. He gives his heart, he gives his life to his devotees. So we're careful to not offend. Because a slight offense, Krishna takes it very seriously. In fact, the devotee may not take it seriously. Devotees don't even take it seriously. Oh, no, what offense? I don't even remember. But Krishna takes it very seriously. There is a nice bhajan written by Govinda Das that is to glorify the Vaishnavas. And hopefully if we have some time, we'll sing that today. It's called E Bara Karuna Koro Vaishnava Gosai. Please give me your mercies. Prayer to the Vaishnava. Please give me your mercy. Karuna koro. E baro karuna koro Vaishnava Gosai. Tomara karuna bina kichu nahi. Without that mercy, I don't have an alternative. I don't have any alternatives at my disposal to attract Krishna. And in that, he goes one item after another, and he ends the song with Haristhane aparadhe tare harinam. The word he used here is tare. In the last line, the second word is yatha tare. Tare means to cross over, to transcend. So he says harinam, Haristhane aparadhe tare harinam. When I make an offense to the deity of Krishna, or when I make an offense to Krishna, tare harinam, the holy name relieves me of that offense. Because the chanting of the holy name is an expression of voluntary submission unto the personality of Godhead. So the holy name relieves that offense completely. Tomasthane har aparade. But when we offend you, the Vaishnava, nahi paritran, there is no solution to it. There is no respite. There is no redemption. I just cannot do anything if I offend you, the Vaishnava. It's a very serious prayer. And the reason is, he says, Govinda kahe, tomara hridaye sada Govinda vishram. In your heart, Lord Govinda is very peaceful and restful. Because your heart is such a joyful place. It is clean, it is free of offenses, it is full of glorification and service attitude unto Krishna and the Vaishnavas, that Govinda is fully relaxed in your heart. Govinda kohe Vaishnava mora pran. That the Vaishnavas are my life. This is Krishna's declaration, that the devotees are my life, mora pran. So our entire Krishna consciousness depends, it's a very sensitive system. In engineering, we define systems according to sensitivity. Sensitive system means a small change in input creates a very large change in output. So Krishna consciousness is a highly sensitive system. Little discrepancy and massive changes in the output side. Small offense to a Vaishnava and taste from Hare Krishna gone away. We just cannot chant. It will be such a dry exercise. And we have no solution. We may say, no, I will sit in a nice place. I will chant in fresh air. I will sleep extra. I will sit this way. I will pronounce every syllable of the Hare Krishna mantra. Nothing will happen. In fact, it will create such a distaste that a person will say, "Chah, this is not for me." Goes away. Nama Prabhu holds back. Even the shadow of the holy name, he holds it back. So there's no respite. So there are so many warnings. When we first begin chanting Hare Krishna in the day, the first thing we remember is that we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name. And guess which is the first one? It's the offense against the Vaishnavas, offense to the Vaishnavas. Any sort, neglect, shunning, speaking disrespectfully, of course beating a Vaishnava and killing a Vaishnava. But you know what? When we hear things like beating up a Vaishnava and killing a Vaishnava, oh, that's too drastic. I don't think I'm going to do that. Yes, we will not do that, and that's wonderful. We shouldn't do that. But it begins with the little neglect. The little neglect accrues into speech that is condescending. And from condescending speech, it becomes fault-finding. And that fault-finding becomes the headline news for the day. And it repeats again and again. Whoever we meet, that faults keep coming out. Because that's the most important thing in our consciousness. The fault of a Vaishnava. That fault-finding grows in our heart. It grows into actually going out of our way to undermine the other Vaishnava. It happens. Let's not be surprised. It happens. And from undermining the Vaishnava, it goes actually into even hurting the Vaishnava. And then once you hurt the Vaishnava physically or verbally, however, murdering is like the very simple alternative after that. It's not so difficult. So it happens. So one should be very, very careful. One should be careful even from the beginning of not neglecting. So if something is bothering us, then our teachings, according to Bhakti Siddhanta, is that the first place we go for rectification is our own heart. Why am I seeing something? Why is that fault so magnified for my consciousness? Let me look in my heart that perhaps it is there for me also, the same fault. This is Bhakti Siddhanta's teaching. If you find fault in a Vaishnava, then you should know that your own heart is honeycombed with that same fault. So the first place of rectification is our heart. My heart is polluted, therefore I am able to see all of this. One time, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhan were given an assignment. They were asked to travel around the world. And they were given an assignment. Duryodhana, you should go around the world and find at least one good man. And Yudhishthira, you should travel around the world And you should find at least one bad person. And you have, whatever, 1 year to travel. So they both traveled. At the end of 1 year, they came back. And they both came back empty-handed. Yudhishthira could not find any bad person, and Duryodhana couldn't find any good person. Because the heart, depending on our heart, that's what reflects outside. Whatever our heart is laced with, that is the perspective with which we see the world. It's very simple. It's not too complicated. We complicate things. The Krishna consciousness is very simple. How we perceive the world outside depends upon how our heart is, what is the disposition of our heart. So the first place to mend is our heart. So a devotee is very busy finding as many faults as he can with himself. If we have fault-finding tendency, then we have a very nice service. Look within, and we can be busy for many lifetimes. Many lifetimes. It's not like, but 2 years I looked inside and everything was clean and I think I was good. It doesn't work like that. The anarthas are so interconnected. As you start peeling one, it's worse than an onion. The more you peel, the smellier it gets. It's actually a cesspool, which we're trying to make it into a nice garden for Krishna. How do you transform that? Krishna won't come into, you know, sewage. So very, very, very important to be careful, to look into our own hearts. Because the message is very serious. One may attain the topmost platform of devotional service. So we are never off the hook. You know, when I was a Kanishta, I used to make a lot of offenses. Now I'm Madhyama and Uttama, so I think I'm okay. It's not like that. Little offense, finished. One may attain the topmost platform of devotional service, but somehow or other, if he offends a Vaishnava, the whole structure collapses. Finished. It's not like the little shake. Finished. Collapsed. So the only way to hedge against it, to save that, save ourselves from such a collapse, is to seek forgiveness. Even for all the unconscious things that we do. Of course, for the conscious things, there's a real problem. But unconsciously, unintentionally, we might offend someone because our speech is trained by Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga speech, Kali Yuga thoughts, Kali Yuga behaviors. Kali Yuga means offensive. That is why everybody quarrels. It's the age of hypocrisy and quarrel. So people quarrel for nothing. Nothing at all. And quarrel comes from improper behavior and speech. Hurtful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one of the islands of Navadvip, that is the island of, called of forgiveness. I'm forgetting the name. Where Kuliagram is. Anyway, that's where Haridas Thakur used to stay. Each of the 9 islands of Navadvip signify one of the 9 processes of devotional service. The main center is called Antardvip, which is for Atmanivedana. And one of those islands next to Antardvip is where Lord Chaitanya had gone. And that is the place where he forgave everyone for their mistakes. Everyone. So when devotees go on parikram to that island, that is the time when they all look within their hearts and pray to Lord Chaitanya to please forgive them as well. There are 3 pastimes of such seriousness. One day Lord Chaitanya returned home. And he declared loudly that Mother Sachi will never go back to Godhead. And everyone was a little concerned. What do you mean? She is the Divine Mother. What has she done? And later he explained that she has offended Advaita Acharya. She has committed an offense at the feet of Advaita Acharya. So people were shocked. What? Mother Sachi, Advaita Acharya, the families are so close to each other. In fact, Sita Thakurani named him Nimai, that the families have such intimacy between themselves. What happened? As the pastime unfolds, this is what apparently happened. That Mother Sachi, she gave birth to many children before Vishwaroop and Nimai were born, and they all died prematurely. So these two boys were very dear to Mother Sachi. So when Nimai was very little and Vishwaroop was a little more grown up, he was a young boy, every day he would spend his morning hearing from Advaita Acharya. They used to have Bhagavatam classes, and little Nimai would be playing at home, but Vishwaroop would be there listening to Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And as we heard yesterday, that by the age of 8, he had decided to take sannyas. So no mother likes to see the son take sannyas. It's always difficult, including for Mother Sachi. Of course, that's pastime. But in general, the mothers, they are the epitome of affection. And so that affection, when it seemingly has to break, it's very difficult for them. So when Vishwaroop decided to take sannyas and he left home, she was completely devastated. And then she was afraid. Now this little Nimai, he also runs around and goes to Advaita Acharya's house. And by the way, in Mayapur, the houses are literally next to each other, not too far from each other. So she was afraid. My little boy, he will also think of sannyas. What about marriage? What about children, grandchildren? What about the family lineage moving forward? She said, this is all because, in her mind she was thinking, this is all because of Advaita Acharya. He's bad association. This thought in her mind, she never said it to anybody. But Lord Chaitanya, being the omniscient Lord, he declared, after many years later, he declared, Mother Sachi will never go back to Godhead because she has committed an offense at the feet of Advaita Acharya. So in one particular event or instance, they were having roaring kirtan, and it just so happened that Advaita Acharya, in his ecstatic mood, had fallen unconscious. And at that moment, without anyone's knowing, Mother Sachi touched his lotus feet and put it to her head. And Lord Chaitanya declared, now she will go back, because she has relieved herself of that offense. The other day when I was speaking, I sort of quickly skimmed through the pastime. There was this personality called Devananda Pandit, who was a very, very eloquent Bhagavatam speaker. He was so eloquent that a lot of people would come to hear from him. But he was not a pure devotee. He had some impersonalism in his heart. One day as he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivast Thakur passed by. And when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivast Thakur got very attracted, because Bhagavatam is all about Krishna. And as he was hearing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivast Thakur went into ecstasy. And in his ecstatic experience, he fainted and fell on the ground. So Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class got disturbed. He said, what is all this? He made his students carry Srivast Thakur and take him home. So Lord Chaitanya chastised Devananda Pandit. This was before Lord Chaitanya's advent, actually. Later, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented, years later, he said, Devananda Pandit, he's an offender. He did not recognize the greatness of Srivast Thakur. He thought of him as some charlatan, something. And he neglected him, he poo-pooed him. So Devananda Pandit is a big offender. Until Devananda Pandit went and sought forgiveness from Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not forgive him. As soon as he did that, Lord Chaitanya was extremely merciful to him. Extremely merciful. Because that's the mood that's attractive. The humble mood of forgiveness. Oh, I'm a wretched person. In Kuliagram, when Haridas Thakur used to live, Haridas Thakur used to live in a cave. And in that cave, he had a roommate. It was a poisonous cobra. And the poisonous cobra would emanate fumes that were so pungent and deadly. And Haridas Thakur was totally undisturbed. They stayed together. But the Vaishnavas, they begged Haridas Thakur, "We can't come see you. We're afraid. You know, your roommate's really nasty." So Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, this is causing concern. I don't want to disturb the snake. I will leave tomorrow. Why disturb the poor snake? I mean, he is, after all, a creature. And his nature is, he's like that. I will leave tomorrow." And it's described that the super soul in the snake inspired the snake to leave. So the snake, the devotee saw the snake slithering out and left and never came back. So that's such greatness of Haridas Thakur. One day as he was walking by, he saw a snake charmer. And the snake charmer, with his little, whatever it's called in English, I don't know. He was playing this music. And the cobra was slowly raising its hood. And as he was swinging and playing the music, the cobra was swinging and dancing. And suddenly Haridas Thakur, when he saw that scene, it reminded him of Krishna. How Krishna dances joyfully to music with the gopis. And he remembered Krishna to such an extent that Haridas Thakur started dancing to the music along with the snake. And suddenly a big crowd gathered. And they were all appreciating, "Wow, look at Haridas Thakur, he's dancing so nicely." Another Brahmana, a caste Brahmana, who was not pure-hearted, he was just into Karmakanda. He was Brahmana just by, I guess, worldly qualification, not really heart qualification. He saw that. He said, "Oh, what is this? This Haridas Thakur, he is born in a Muslim family, and he's such a vagabond, he walks around chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and that people become very attracted to him. This is just his cheap way of getting adoration from others. I will show them what is real devotion." And so he started dancing alongside to get all the adoration from the crowd that, "Oh, look at the Brahmana, he's also so wonderful." But his whole idea was to pull Haridas Thakur down. So the snake charmer, when he saw that, he stopped the music, got up and kicked and beat up the Brahmana. And he's like, "Hey, what are you doing? I'm a Brahmana." He said, "You're not a Brahmana, you're a cheater, you're a charlatan. You're unnecessarily disturbing the peace of this beautiful environment here. You're offending such a great personality. Get away from here." Even a snake charmer got disgusted by such a ostentatious exhibition of bhakti. Gopal Chakravarti was a very gifted speaker. Not only was he a gifted speaker, he had very nice bodily structure as well. In a few purports ago, we had read, when Maharaj Rishabdev was born, that he had 32 bodily symptoms that were indicative of a Mahapurusha, a great personality. A broad forehead, a broad chest, a high nose, a nicely chiseled chin and cheekbones, long arms, etc., etc., thin waist. So Gopal Chakravarti had very beautiful fingers.
so delicate, artistic, and a nose that was perfectly structured, and teeth that were, it's described like jasmine buds laid next to each other in perfect array. And he was very proud of his beauty and knowledge. He was discussing with some other brahmanas scriptures, and there was some discussion about chanting of the holy name, the efficacy of chanting. And the discussion was about whether or not the chanting of the holy name bestows one liberation from this repeated birth and death. So Haridas Thakur, who was passing by, happened to come about this conversation. So they invited him. Oh, Haridas Thakur, please tell us, we've been discussing that what's the efficacy of chanting Hare Krishna, the names of the Lord. Does it give liberation? So Haridas Thakur broke into a half smile and said, liberation? Even Abhas chanting gives liberation. Who cares for liberation? Abhas is, even the full love and full spiritual consciousness is not developed. Even the beginning stage, you know, as long as one doesn't commit an offense to the holy name, in the beginning stages as well, one is assured of liberation. But chanting of the holy name with pure consciousness gives love of Godhead, which is way superior than liberation. In fact, those who chant purely, they shun liberation as if it's stool. They don't care for it. There's a nice verse by Sridhar Swami that he prays to Krishna. My dear Krishna, your Brahman effulgence is all pervading. There is no, not even a space of atom in the entire creation where the Brahman is not manifest. It's everywhere. Yet, those who espouse the idea of Brahman as the superior, or the most superior, for them, the Brahman has not been able to separate even one leaf from the tree of repeated birth and death. Not even one leaf separates. On the other hand, for a person who chants even your name once, the entire tree of repeated birth and death is uprooted. Please tell me which you would like me to worship. I mean, it's an obvious question. It's a glorification of the holy name. So when Haridas Thakur glorified the efficacy of the holy name, Gopal Chakravarti became very upset. He said, what? How dare you speak like that? You don't even know the innermost confidential teaching of the Vedas. You're denigrating liberation to be some cheap thing. If what you say is true, if what you say is not true, I curse you that your nose will fall away due to leprosy. That was heavy. And Haridas Thakur, instead of reacting, what, you know better? I'm Namacharya. He said, if a word of what I have said is not true, I curse myself that my nose should fall away. And he went away. He didn't take any offense. But Krishna, he had a problem. He didn't like it. And very, very quickly, Gopal Chakravarti's beautiful fingers melted away in leprosy. His teeth, all wonderful array of beautiful teeth, became completely destroyed. And his nose, the beautiful nose, vanished. It melted away in leprosy. And he started suffering severely. Haridas Thakur didn't take any offense. When Lord Chaitanya came, he begged, please forgive me, I'm in this very distressful condition. He says, you have offended Haridas Thakur. So when he begged forgiveness from Haridas Thakur, please forgive me, didn't understand what a great personality you were. I completely blasphemed you very badly. Please forgive me. That is when he came back to proper health. So offending a Vaishnava is extremely dangerous. Very, very dangerous. In fact, it's the death of devotional life. In one might argue, Krishna says, Neha bikramanasyosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Even a little devotional service has eternal benefit. Yes, that is true. But an offense to a Vaishnava has also an eternal lock on that benefit. You cannot access that benefit. Or not you, we cannot access that benefit. It is there. In one sense, it's like the retirement plan, what they call 401k. You put money aside, you don't see it till you're 65 and a half. And no one guarantees that you'll see it till you're 65. Nobody knows. It's just sitting there. It's money that you know you have, you cannot use. And if you use it, you're penalized. It's your own money, but you're penalized. It's like that. Oh, there is some benefit, but I have no access to it. And I'll end with this. In Nectar of Instruction, verse number 7, 6 and 7 are very nicely, actually 4, 5, 6 and 7 are very nicely organized by Rupa Goswami. Verse number 4 talks about how to have loving relationships among devotees. Verse 5 talks how to recognize a devotee, to have a loving relationship, how to recognize them. Verse 6 specifically talks about how to relate with the spiritual master, how not to judge the spiritual master or the very advanced devotee with a material set of criteria or material yardstick. And verse number 7 tells us that we have no taste for the holy name because the liver is jaundiced. Just as the liver is jaundiced, so nothing tastes sweet. The sweetest holy name, Madhuram Madhure Piyobhi, tastes bitter. So the understanding is, when the prior stages are properly arranged, that our consciousness in relation to the devotees is properly adjusted, then the jaundice begins to go away. So Rupa Goswami says, Kintu anudinam adarat khalusaiva jushta. Adarat means with great respect. We have to chant Hare Krishna with great respect towards the holy name. Only then, and it says anudinam, day after day. Khalusaiva jushta, the khalu, the bitterness is relieved. So to honor the holy name, we have to honor the persons uttering the holy name. Because the pure holy name resides on the tongue of the pure Vaishnava. It's not available on the ether with a cell phone that I download an app and I have a pure holy name. It's not like that. It's on the tongue of the pure Vaishnava. So to honor the holy name means to honor the carrier of the holy name. You can't do one without the other. Kintu anudinam adarat, then khalusaiva jushta. One is relieved of that jaundice of bitterness on chanting of the holy name. Okay, any comments? Bhakta Adam, Ashraya, and Parama Karuna, Pahutu Jana.
So, thank you for class, Prabhu. So, if we're lacking taste in a japa session, then it's clear to understand that we've made some offense. That's pretty much like the tall tale sign.
Yeah.
And then what if, in that instance, we don't know where we've committed this offense or to whom? And what do we do in a situation like that?
So Srila Prabhupada was asked a question similar question. What if I don't know who I've offended. Therefore, Prabhupada said, therefore, every day we say, Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. This is our Savior. This is the redemption from the inadvertent or advertent offenses.
I also appreciate that what you were mentioning about just cultivating that humility, because with the humility then we won't create offenses. Is something I was asking Tush Prabhu in Denver, and I was just saying, like, just that idea of the accidental offenses, like the unknown offenses, the soul. But his thing was, yeah, you first just cultivate a consciousness of all the time you're being humble and you're trying to act in that way, and then you won't make those accidental offenses. You just, because the pride and the egoism creates offenses.
You know, recently Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was here, and he said something very nice. He said, when we hear about offenses to devotees and all that, we become paranoid, scared, and sort of that almost thwarts our ability to freely interact with the devotees. He said, we should accept, it is known that we will commit offenses. We cannot live a life as devotees without committing an offense. It's not possible. We will. And therefore, humility, the seeking forgiveness, is our everyday way of relieving ourselves of it. In fact, that's nice in one sense, because we get to practice humility. Suppose I never committed an offense at all. I never get the opportunity to say, please forgive me. It doesn't exercise the humility muscle. So we will commit offenses. It is but a given fact. So the practicing humility is that opportunity Krishna is giving us. So we shouldn't be too paranoid about, oh, I can't offend, or I can't say anything because I'm going to offend. No. Speak freely, and if it is an offense, please forgive me, what to do. But that's how we practice. Of course, we should be cautious, but not cautious to such a degree that the heart cannot freely interact with the devotees. Ashraya was going to say something.
Starting yesterday, I just found it curious that he's at the same time that he's apologizing for his offense, he's also expressing,
I find it contradictory,
that he thinks it's contradictory, and asking for clarification. So
yeah,
maybe if you want to discuss more the consciousness that the king is.
When he says the previous verses, he's expressing what he has understood so far, or what he knows. And he's asking for better insight. So when he says contradictory, this is not an offensive statement. He's just saying, I find, like we ask questions, you know, when senior devotees or Maharajas come, Maharaj, on one hand I hear like this, on the other hand I hear like that. It seems contradictory, like that. He's just expressing that I'm not able to fit in the two paradigms together. That the paradigm is on the level of the body, these distinctions of king and servant, you know, this varna versus that varna, they exist. The suffering of the mind exists. And you're saying that no such distinction exists, etc. So it's contradictory, I'm confused. So he wants insight into how to accommodate both those paradigms. And the doorway for that understanding is that he has to seek forgiveness for speaking like that to Jada Bharat. Arjuna also does the same in the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says something, he says, what is this, Krishna? You just said this, and now you're saying this. Are you saying that intelligence, working with intelligence, you're also saying renounce activities, which is higher? Okay, chapter number 3, and the beginning of 4, oh, but you said that, and now you're saying this, which is better? Chapter number 5, but you said that, and only later he says, Nashta moha smitra labdva, that my illusion has been. So he's asking clarification. Seems contradictory to me. Parama karuna. I almost answered the question. Okay? Oops, time's up. But the song is very nice. Okay, we'll do it some other time. Krishna willing, some other time. But if you have time and interest, there's a song in our songbook called Ek Baro Karuna Karo Vaishnava Gosai. Beautiful song. Just to assimilate the meaning and the mood of that song. I was going to say something. I heard from a senior devotee a very nice thing. He said, humility is an ornament for a devotee that protects the devotee against all mistakes and offenses. And he said, humility is like the eyelid for the eye. Because in the entire body, the eye is the most delicate organ. And we notice that anything that comes towards the eye, what's the first thing that happens? The eyelid closes to protect the eye. Similarly, anything that may be there that may attack the very delicate bhakti. So the humility is the eyelid that protects from that bhakti being destroyed. So along with the holy name, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us humility as the protective layer for that bhakti. It's very essential. Trinadapi, Sunichena. These are the aspects of humility. More Trinadapi, Sunichena. Considering oneself lower than the straw, the street, the insignificance of one's actuality. Who thinks one thinks of himself as tolerant, more tolerant than a tree. Recently we had in our Bhakti Vriksha a whole discussion on a tree, the various ways in which a tree is tolerant. And it's tolerant in many, many, many ways. And we are asked to be more tolerant than a tree. Amanina, without any false prestige, looking for, seeking appreciation, seeking others' recognition, and manadena, yet nothing coming to us, yet giving all respect and honor unto others. These are the four dimensions of that humility. Only then we can chant. So it's a lifetime project, or a many lifetime project, that we all have sincerely begun. And helping each other and supporting each other to make that journey. So that ultimately the journey is happening because of Krishna's mercy. Anytime we think that, I'm advancing because I've been chanting nicely, then we go back to square one. Nothing's happening because of our chanting. I mean, it is happening is that it's attracting Krishna's mercy to the degree that we're chanting nicely. But it's ultimately Krishna's mercy. And Krishna pays attention to wherever there is humility. Otherwise he doesn't care. Just doesn't care. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Whoa.